us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can have a seat.
Good morning. I hope everyone had a good Christmas. Looking forward to a happy new year. I'm a little sleepy. I stayed up late last night watching something on television. So you know how that happens sometimes. What's brown and sticky? A stick. What's green and fuzzy? And if it falls out of a tree, it'll hurt you. A pool table. Thank you. That's the end of the year, you know. That's how I wrapped it up. So you have that to look forward to next year. And so this last year we went through the story of Scripture, and we talked about this unfolding, unending story that God is writing in order to have a people for His own. And we talked in Advent how that kingdom looks like a kingdom and how that plays out. And so what are the two things we learned in Advent? Jesus is King, and His kingdom is here and now. And so in the next year, in 2019, we're going to spend a year talking about that kingdom. And so the question is, so what difference does it make that Jesus is King and that His kingdom is here and now? And so I'm kind of getting a jump start on the year and going to talk about a few things this morning. Probably cover several things, so if you pick up one, you can spend the rest of the service thinking about that, and you don't have to pay that much attention because you can't keep them all. So gather one as we go along and keep it with you. This idea that Jesus is King and that the kingdom is here and now. And Jeremy talked about us doing communion in the new year. Each Sunday, because this is an example of one of those places where heaven and earth meet. That's what we celebrate at communion, is that the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, that heaven came to earth and took shape here. And that's what it means for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And so every Sunday we're going to remind ourselves that that has happened, it is happening, and it will happen again, that the kingdom is coming. That Jesus is not just King, but He is our King. And His kingdom is here and now, and we are part of that. And so as we begin to think about that, I think the first thing we want to remember is that the church is not the kingdom. We should be the flavor of the kingdom. People who come and are part of our community, part of our worship, they should taste a little bit about what that kingdom is like. They should see it in our relationships. They should get glimpses of what the kingdom of God looks like when they see the way we interact with each other and with our world. But the church is obviously not the kingdom. I mean, we know that God doesn't rule over every decision that we make and every interaction that we have and every event that we plan. We hope that that's true, and that's what we want to become. But the intent is that God will be so involved with us that and us so involved with the world that people will see and get a glimpse of what the kingdom of God can be like. And another thing is that the church is not the kingdom, and we do not make the kingdom come. Only God can make His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That was Jesus' prayer, that God would do that. And so He gives us the opportunity, and we are invited to be part of that. We're invited to be partners with God as that happens, but we can't make that happen. We can't work harder. We can't discern better. We can't manipulate people or events or circumstances so that that happens. That only happens when God is involved in it, when God is in charge of it, and we participate with Him. God invites us to be part of it. And I think it helps us if we think about this mission or this dream that God has, not as a test for us that we have to pass, but as an adventure that we get to participate in. Because you see, a test always has a right and wrong answer. And you spend so much time worrying about messing it up that you miss the glory of the moment. So that the kingdom is not a burden that we bear, but it is a glory that we share. And so God invites us into this adventure. And it's this relationship that we pursue. It's not a role that we play. We're not supposed to act like we are kingdom people. We're to pursue a relationship with the King that expresses itself in kingdom values, in kingdom relationships, in a surrender and a submission to the King that works out in all kinds of practical ways in our life. And again, it is this focus that God is the one who does it, and it comes out of our relationship with Jesus. So it's not a social agenda. We're not another political party. We're not just a group of people who have certain initiatives that we want to see achieved. We are people who are devoted to Jesus, our King, and what He wants is what we want. We are committed to this thing that He has been doing and is doing and will continue to do. And so we have this opportunity, we have this possibility of being part of the kingdom coming. And we want to see it that way, not as a burden we bear or not as this demand that we perform, but we want to see it as this invitation to be part of what God is doing, to see His story continue to unfold and His kingdom come. And so the church is not it. We don't make it happen. God does it. And contrary to what we think, it doesn't happen through heroes and miracles. It happens through humble hearts who do small acts. It is a huge thing that God is doing. He wants for there to be peace on earth, all over the earth, not just in our hearts, which is pretty cool when we discover this peace in our hearts, but He wants peace between families, peace between spouses, between parents and children, between groups of people, between races, between nations. God's agenda is peace on earth where our swords are beaten into plowshares. God's intention is that there be no more hunger or poverty, that people not live weary existences, that people not find their lives to be drudgery. It is God's will that there be justice for all people, that there none are treated unfairly on any basis. This is a huge calling, this thing that God intends to do, that none will be in a place where they are rejected or lonely, where the sick are cared for. That's what God's about. And it is this huge task. And if we think about it that way, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And we can kind of just tend to give up because we can't make that happen. But the kingdom, Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God comes through the small deeds that we do every day. A cup of water in His name changes eternity. He says it doesn't take a huge crowd. If two or more are gathered in My name, I'm there and the kingdom is present. He says it's like a seed, a mustard seed, that is the smallest seed of all. But if you plant it in the ground, it will grow, and it will become something great. It's like yeast that you mix into dough that impacts the whole thing and makes it different. It is those small acts that we do every day that changes, that enables the kingdom to come. It's not heroes and miracles. It is those humble hearts doing small acts of grace that brings the kingdom into reality. Because grace accumulates, it builds, it gathers momentum. And as I throw a few of those acts into my day and you perform some of those acts in your day, then we begin to change the world. We become salt and light in a world that is lost and dark. And so this big, huge task, when we think about it, is not this thing that we cannot do, but it is within our reach. It is within our grasp to be faithful, to be part of God bringing the kingdom on earth. If I love the person in front of me, the one who crosses my path if I extend grace with a word or a gesture or an act, then the kingdom is coming. And so it's not up to me by myself, but it is what we do together to be faithful to what God is doing. And God says that, yes, this is a huge task, but I will give you the grace to help you participate with me in this. God has committed himself. He has given his son. He is going to see this happen. And he invites us to be part of it. And he gives us the grace that we need to do that. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that God has given us everything we need for life and for the life that he wants us to live. Out of his divine power, God has given us everything we need for life. That's just the hard struggles that come to us in life, the things we mess up and the things that other people mess up. There is grace for all of that. For all of that that comes, there's enough. And to live the life that he wants for us. Everything we need, God has provided. He will give to us as we ask. And as we seek that. Ephesians chapter 3 says that God out of his, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us, be glory in the church. God is able to do immeasurably. You can't measure how much more God can do than you can ask. Or you could even imagine. You can't imagine how God can use us in his kingdom. And it says that he, out of his power, his grace, will enable us to do more than that. That is his promise. In Romans chapter 5, it says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Wherever there is darkness, there is light. And more light than darkness. Wherever there is guilt, there is forgiveness, and more forgiveness than is needed. Somebody once said that whatever it is that we need, God always gives us that plus two. So, for instance, if the world, the need in the world, is like a debt that they owe, that the world owes, and we want to see this debt forgiven. And so, how much is it? Is it $1,000? Is it $100,000? Is it $1 million? Is it $1 billion? Is it $1 trillion? How deep is this debt that needs to be paid so that the world can see the kingdom come? Whatever it is, God's grace is 1,000 plus 2, or 1 billion plus 2, or 1 trillion plus 2. No matter what it is, there is enough grace, there is enough of God's presence among us to enable us to see that kingdom come. Or maybe if we think of it as a stain, this evil stain on the world that we want to see washed away. How much water does it take of God's presence and grace? A handful? A bucketful? A stream? A river? Niagara Falls? An ocean? Whatever it takes. Wherever there is darkness, grace abounds more. 2 oceans, 5 oceans, 10 oceans, 1,000 Niagara Falls, whatever it takes, God will make it available to us so that his kingdom can come, so that we can be part of what he's doing in the world. There will always be enough grace. The problem is, there are two dangers, I think. One of them is that we will understand how huge the task is, but we will try to do it on our own. It's like if you win an all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii, you know, and they send you the money for your airplane ticket, and you take it and you spend it on swimming lessons. Because you figure, you know, well, I want to go, but I'll swim there by myself, you know. And they send you, they'll tell you to reserve a hotel room at the best hotel on the beach in Hawaii. And you say, well, I'll just go down and buy me a tent and a cooking pan down at Nat's, and I'll just do that because I can manage that. I can do that. And they offer to set you up to go snorkeling and parasailing and go to Pearl Harbor and have a luau and eat pineapple and pig and all the things you do in Hawaii, and you decide, well, I think I'll just kind of get a part-time job while I'm there, make a few bucks. And we think that we will do it on our own when all that we need is provided for us. Because maybe we think the task is too big. Or maybe we think our gifts are enough. And the other danger is that we receive the grace, but we use it on the wrong things. Like somebody gives you a new motorhome, you know, and you know, one of those really nice ones that has two bathrooms, I hear they have in some of those now, and you can slide out the sides, and you know, it's got the big screen TV and the whole works. And they offer to pay all your expenses to go on a trip anywhere you want to go. And you decide to go to Rockfield because they got really good potato chips at the IGA down there. And that's what we do with the grace that God gives us. We recognize that this is a great gift, but we spend it on things that are so meager and shallow, and we don't have this vision of what God is doing in our world, of what He wants to accomplish. And I think part of that is because when we think about what God is saying to us, we think, you know, if God has three words to say to us, we kind of get the idea that what He's saying is, don't do that. And so we live our lives in this defensiveness so that we don't mess up. Or we hear God say, just try harder. And so we expend all our energy trying to be good enough, trying to prove our worth. But maybe what God is saying to us instead is, come to Me. That this is your home. This is the life you were created for. This is what we were made to do. Maybe what God is saying to us is, I love you. As cheesy and simple as that sounds, I'll say that as many times as we need to hear it to believe it. That He invites us to come to Him because He loves us. And then I think maybe God says, let's do this. I don't know if that's a commercial or where it comes from, but I think God takes it up. Let's do this. Let's see His kingdom come. Let's do those small acts of service and devotion that cause His kingdom to come. Let's be the flavor of the kingdom. Let's give people glimpses of what that looks like. Let's set our hearts on seeking the kingdom of God first and worry about all the rest later. Let's not settle for anything less than this vision that God has. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your call on our lives. We thank You that Jesus is our King, that He reigns over our lives. And we thank You, Father, for the power and the grace that You give to us that is rich and deep and wide. We ask, Father, that You would help us to hear this invitation to be part of the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. Remind us again, Father, of whose we are and of the life that You desire for us. Give us a vision. Help us to see the adventure and the opportunity and the possibility that lies before us, to be part of this story that You are writing, to see Your dream come true, to see Your kingdom come. We thank You, Father, that You are here among us this morning, inviting us to be part of what You're doing, to remember that we are loved, to hear Your call to come to You and receive the grace that we might love the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.